Cloud. All right, Jim, you're gonna have my seat now. Okay, greetings, brethren. Praise the Lord. I'm gonna push this back just a little bit. I'm going to put my Bible up here. Praise the Lord. So we've had a prosperous journey here, able to leap through large cities with great bounds. Some of us in America, if you know about traveling our interstates, it's very challenging, especially when you come to the big cities. So, but we're happy to be here in the North Country, and we're being blessed here. So I just want to pray, Lord, we just pray for your divine unction, for the anointing that breaks the yoke. Bless, Lord, both the sower and he would receive the seed. Breath the eater and, Lord God, the feeder. We pray, Lord God, that you overshadow this time. May the words be the words of spirit and life. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this people, that we indeed are a people that are here for such a time as this, to see thy kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen. So, brethren, if you have your Bible, I would like you to open to Matthew chapter 12, the Gospel according to Brother Matthew. And we're going to go down to, let's go down to verse 22. And let us just read a few verses here. Matthew 12 and 22. Then was brought unto him, Jesus Christ, of course, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods? We're in verse 29. Except he first bind the strong man, and then shall he spoil his house. Now, Jesus Christ came here to establish the kingdom of God, of which Jesus Christ is king. Now, one kingdom has to, must displace the other kingdom. Now, whether it be Satan's kingdom, trying to usurp God's kingdom, or the kingdom of God taking dominion, either case, one kingdom must displace the other kingdom. So first of all, if you look at where is the verse that I'm looking for? Okay, here we go. If you look at the verse 26, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? He has a kingdom. Satan has a kingdom. How did he get that kingdom? Now we know who is king in that kingdom. Satan is king in his kingdom. But how did he get his kingdom? I'm sorry?
I'm trying to answer the question.
No, go ahead, Jim.
Okay.
I'll mute him.
Okay. So, I would like you to, the best example, and I want you to go back to Luke chapter 4. And I would like you to go down to verse 5. We're in Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. And the devil, taking him, meaning Jesus, up into a high mountain. Now, where is this high mountain? This is in the spirit. This is not a mountain. This is that Satan bringing him into the spirit realm and showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So what was it that Satan wanted Jesus to see? He wanted him to see his kingdom. But his kingdom was in the hearts of men everywhere. He said, you see this? Do you see, we'll think of some of the great empires that came and went in that day, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and of course at this time the Roman Empire was ruling the world. And he was showing him all of these kingdoms of men and the hearts of men, and he said, they're all mine. So the next verse says, we're in Luke chapter 4 and verse 6, and the devil said unto him, all this power, that word is exousia, authority, the authority to rule in a kingdom, all of this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. He's saying, this is my kingdom. It's been given to me. It wasn't given to him. He usurped it. He took the dominion that God gave to Adam and he usurped it in the garden, and he has been using that authority to rule ever since. So is it his right to rule? He has a right. It's called the right of warfare. The stronger rules over the weaker. So now we go back to, so he has a right to rule. He has an authority. So now we go back here to, we're back in Matthew 12. And if you want, you can just hold your finger in Matthew 12 because we're going to be going back and forth. Now, he's saying, and verse 28, we're back in Matthew 12 and verse 28. Jesus speaking, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God is come unto you. So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying the kingdom of God is in power. It's in an authority that's way beyond the authority that Satan has. He's saying, I've got the power. You think that you can rule over my creation. What Jesus is saying here is, you're finished. Your day is done. The kingdom of God has come. And how has the kingdom of God come? It has come in power, in authority, to overthrow Satan's kingdom. Okay? And we know where that kingdom is. That kingdom is in the hearts of men. Okay? So now, look at verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into the strong man's house, which means the kingdom? Now, who is the strong man in this situation? It is Satan. He showed Jesus, this is my kingdom. How can we overthrow Satan's kingdom? Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? The kingdom of God must overthrow the kingdom of darkness. Now, how does this happen? We're talking about, well, look at verse 28 first. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come to you. The kingdom of God is casting down the devil's kingdom. Where? In the hearts of men. Now that word, cast out, is the Greek word ekbalo. Now that doesn't mean anything to you. Just a Greek word. But the emphasis means that it's a power. There's a power behind this word of the kingdom to cast out Satan's kingdom. And remember now, we're talking about in the hearts of men. So let's just take a look at this power to cast out. So go to, as long as we're in Matthew here, go back one chapter Go back to Matthew 11. And down to verse 12. Well, maybe we'll pick up the thought in verse 11. So we're in Matthew 11, 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Meaning, there has got to be a force, a power behind the authority. If I could say it this way, the two words for power, the one is dunamis, which means divine energy and power. The other one is exousia, which means the authority to use that power. So he's saying that the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. In other words, Satan has violently, deceptively overthrown the kingdom of God in many instances, because he's not going to willingly give up his kingdom. Satan's going to fight for what is his. He's the strong man. He wants to hold on to what he has and not let it go. Okay? So Jesus is telling us here that the same violence, the same force, the same power and energy that Satan is using against us to overthrow the kingdom, we have got to use against him. Okay? One more verse. Acts 14 and 22. This is Paul. And incidentally, this is a very unusual time in the ministry of Brother Paul. He came into Lystra. He preached the word. There were those that, first of all, they exalted him. And you see back in 12, they wanted to call Barnabas Jupiter. They wanted to call Paul Mercurius, which was Mercury. And they wanted to exalt them. And of course, Paul would have nothing to do with that. Well, then the next thing you know, they're taking Paul out and they're stoning him. His preaching goes from rejoicing to violence. So let's see if we can find that. Okay, verse 19. We're in Acts 14 and verse 19. And when there came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, they drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. They took Paul out of the city. They stoned him. They said, we're done with this guy. He's dead. You know what? Paul was dead. But what happened was Paul was caught up into the heavenlies. And you can read, we were not going to go there, but you can read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul was caught up into the third heaven and he saw things that he couldn't even speak about. He didn't have words to say. What happened? The kingdom of God suffered violence. But what happened to Paul? God raised him from the dead. They thought he was dead, but he was raised up. And howbeit, verse 20, as the disciples stood around him, he rose up. This was a resurrection, brethren. Paul was stoned to death, caught up into the third heavenlies. This is violence against the kingdom. And what does God do? God brings power against power and raises Paul up. Glory to God. And there came, okay, howbeit, verse 20. The disciples stood around about him and he rose up. He came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Verse 22, this is the verse I want us to see. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we, who do you suppose he's talking to? Paul is talking to us in our day, as well as these brethren, that we must be careful of that word must. Must means must. That we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. The violent, in this case, us, have to go through tribulation to enter into the kingdom. All of the things that are troubling you, all of the things, physical infirmities, spirits tormenting, people coming against us, you name it, all of these are pressures that are put upon the people of God that we are entering the kingdom in spite of the pressures against us. Amen. Now, go back to Matthew 12. Now, in verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Now, hold your finger here. I want us to go to one more verse in Luke, back to Luke 4. And we're going to come right back to Matthew, so hold your finger there. You've got a lot of fingers, right? So, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come unto you. Now we're in Luke 4, and this is going to explain what the kingdom of God is. Verse 18. We're in Luke 4 and 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, brethren. That same anointing is upon us. Jesus Christ, the word Messiah comes from the Hebrew word Memshach, which means the anointing. So when you say Messiah, you're saying the anointing or the anointed one. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Now, if that were in the Hebrew, that word anointed would be Memshach, the anointing. Because he hath anointed me, he has anointed you, he has anointed us. Okay, he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to bring the kingdom. preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach what? Deliverance to the captives. These ones that Satan showed Jesus. You see this kingdom, all those hearts, they're mine. And here Jesus is saying, they're not yours. They're mine. To heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the Jubilee. That word is the Jubilee, that the kingdom of God has come, and the kingdom of God has come in power, in authority. Now, back to Matthew 12. But if I, verse 28, Matthew 12 and 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first, what? Bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now, I would like you to just bear with me for a minute. And I want to tell you a family story. It's not a good story, but nevertheless, I want to tell this story. My father came back from World War II addicted to alcohol. And he was an abusive drunk in the home. And when I was 8 years old, my mother divorced him. And he was out of the house. Now, I want to tell you, and just for a perspective, we're talking about the strong man. What are we talking about? Spirits. And more importantly, we're talking about family spirits. Now, we could be talking about your family and your ancestral spirits, but we're talking about now, in specific, I'm telling you a story about ancestral spirits in my family, in my house, because this is the strong man. So I have three older sisters, and then there's me, and then my younger brother, 3 years younger. My oldest sister was not my father's, but she had a different father, and she went on and married a farmer and was married for 55 years until her death in her early 70s. My next sister, and you know my sisters, Connie, my next sister, Carol, and then below her, my other sister, Linda, who used to attend the fellowship, and then me, and then my brother. Now, I don't like telling these things, but nonetheless, they need to be spoken. My mother had four husbands. She had a husband before my dad, and then after my dad, she had two other husbands. My next sister, as I told you, she was married to the same man for 50 plus years until her death. She overcame that divorce spirit. My mother had four husbands. The middle sister, Carol, had four husbands. The youngest sister, of course, older than me, had four husbands. That's just coincidence, right? No. That's a divorce spirit working in the family, in the home. That's one of these strong men. Now, my sister Carol, she would be the middle sister, had a spirit that troubled her from her youth up. And this spirit caused her depression. At one time, she'd had two children, and she was a young mother in her teens. She had a mental breakdown. Well, she died young. She was, I think, 61 years old when she died. And fortunately, months before she died, Joanne and I were able to visit her, and she got right down on her knees and prayed with us, and then several months later, she was gone. But her whole life, she was battling this depression and deep depression. What is this? We're talking about the strong man. We're talking about familiar ancestral spirits. Now, my sister Carol has three children. Of course, she's passed on, but she had three children. A son, Robbie, my nephew. A daughter, Annie, my niece. And then by another husband, she had the youngest, Tina. Now, you're going to understand this as this story unfolds. You're going to understand why we are where we are and why I'm telling this story. This, first of all, when a spirit, okay, let's back up. When a sinner dies, he goes to hell. His spirit goes back to God. His body goes to the grave, and his soul goes to hell. The spirit goes back to God, and that's in Ecclesiastes. We don't have time to go there, but we can show you that. Because God, the spirit belongs to God, and the spirit always goes back to God, sinner or saint. So when a soul perishes and goes to hell, they become a demon, a disembodied spirit. And that's in 2 Corinthians, and I believe it's, if we can't quote it, we're going to have to find it. 2 Corinthians, and let's try chapter 5, see if that's it. Yes, it is chapter 5. And these are some good scriptures, so we'll start in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle or this temple were dissolved, in other words, we die, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. For if so be that we, being clothed we shall not be found naked. That word in the Greek, just for the record, is gumnos, which means a disembodied, and it says spirit, but it's really a soul, a disembodied soul. He died. He lost his house. His body went to the grave. His spirit went back to God, and his soul went to hell. And what did he become? A disembodied soul, a demon. We're talking about ancestral demons, spirits. Okay. Now, back to the story. The spirits troubled my sister Carol. And she died at an early age, 61. But we believe, and we have to believe, our family covenant, that she was set free. And it may have taken death to set her free, but she was set free from those devils. Where did those devils go? Where did they go? To and fro, wandering. Come on, brethren. Wandering to and fro in the earth, seeking a body to manifest in. Where do you think my sister's spirits are going to want to go? Into her family. That's why they are called family spirits. Now, her oldest son, her oldest child, she had one son, Robbie, spent 20 years in the military, retired from the military, became a drunk. He was such a drunk that his wife, and he had two children, his wife divorced him because she couldn't stand to live with him. He lived the rest of his days as a drunkard. And at the end of his life, now his youngest sister, Tina, her husband is a sheriff's deputy, and they live within 30 minutes of where Robbie, my nephew, live. And they knew he was troubled. And one day, Dave, my niece's husband, the deputy, he said, I haven't heard from Robbie in days. I've got to go over there and check on him. And of course, he went in, and there was Robbie laid out on the floor, dead. And they didn't know how many days he had been like that. He could not overcome the family spirits. He had the alcohol from my father, his grandfather. He had depression from his mother, who passed away. By this time, now, Carol passed away, yes. My sister Carol passed away before Robbie, my nephew. So now, he had these spirits that were too strong for him. He couldn't handle it. And he died in that horrible condition. Now, Robbie's the oldest child. Annie, my niece, is the next child. Annie, at this time, she was married to the same man for almost 30 years, or maybe 30 years. She was a teenager. She's my niece is in her early 60s. So, she is battling depression. Her husband died of, I think it was leukemia. Her husband died of leukemia just about 2 years ago. She took his death very, it really affected her. It was a very deep blow for her. She didn't know what to do with her life. I've talked to her a few times on the phone, but she went into a deep depression. She drinks alcohol, and now her mind is being taken. And I hate to tell the story, but she thinks some guy on the internet wants to marry her. And he happens to be Paul McCartney.
Now
tell me this is not deception. But listen, when your mind is gone and you're battling depression, you're battling alcohol, she really believes that this, well, yes, I want you to come to England so we can get married, but send me $12,000. Now tell me this is not a spirit. Now we can think, wow, this is just crazy. It's laughable, but it's not laughable. It's serious. Something has taken her mind. The alcohol spirit from my father. The depression spirit from her mother. And now the internet. There are spirits. Listen, where is this signal? Okay, Howard, you're in Pennsylvania. Mike, you're out in California. Some of you brethren are in Africa. Mark, he's in Togo. Nancy's in Texas. Okay. How are you getting this signal? A signal goes up to a satellite where? In the heavenlies, comes down to your connection. We're talking about there are spirits that are working through these signals. Not every satellite signal is a message of Brother DeSeals or a Zoom meeting. This spirit that captured my niece, Annie, is a deceptive, deceiving spirit. Brethren, it's the same spirits that are in these little phones that our children and our grandchildren are having to contend with. Brethren, I'm talking reality. The kingdom of God suffers violence. There are violent spirits coming against us, against our children, our families, trying to capture their minds, capture their souls. Now, the story. Hallelujah.
But we're going to send violence back at them.
And we are going to send violence back at them. Now, the story is not over. My sister Carol's youngest daughter, Tina, she lives in Janesville, Wisconsin. Her husband is the deputy. Tina and David are born again. Hallelujah! Rejoice with me. They're born again. Praise the Lord. Tina is fighting against Grandpa's alcohol. her mother's depression. She's fighting against those spirits that took her brother and the spirits that are after her sister Annie. Tina has two boys. And she said, they have been lost for years. But they came home. Do you hear me, brethren? Tina broke through that stronghold. Hallelujah! She resisted the alcohol. She resisted the depression. She resisted the divorce. Tina has been married to David, her only husband. Her boys were lost and now they've come home. And I just rejoice with her on the phone when I talk to her. Now, the story is still unfolding, brethren. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 12. We're in Matthew chapter 12. And I want to start with verse 28 again. But if I, Jesus Christ, cast out devils, that's that word, ekbalo. That's force, power, cast out. Taking an authority and using one authority over another. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, the dunamis power, the exousia authority, if I do that, then the kingdom of God has come to you. The kingdom of God is violence against the kingdom of the devil. The kingdom of God is violence against the spirits that are attacking our children, our families. Hallelujah! But if I cast out, act below, use the authority, use the dunamis, that's the kingdom of God. I want my children in the kingdom of God. I want my grandchildren in the kingdom of God. I want my family members in the kingdom of God. But in order to do that, in order to make that happen, verse 29, or else how can one, meaning you and I, how can we enter into that stronghold, those ancestral devils, familiar spirits? How can we enter into that realm and spoil his goods except we first, what? Bind the strong man. And then we can spoil his house. We can act below, cast him out. Brethren, we are in the same battle that has been going on for generations. every man of God had to battle the ancestral spirits of the land. Abraham, he was always in battles. When Joshua came into the land, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, Joshua, the captain of the Lord of hosts is with you. Every place the soles of your feet shall trod, I have given it unto you for a possession. But what? You have to go and fight for it. We have to fight for our children, our grandchildren. We have to fight for them. Now, the spirit that's trying to capture my niece, Annie, to capture her mind, capture her soul. Does she know it's a spirit? No. She doesn't. She doesn't have a clue that it's a spirit. Tell me, how can she fight that spirit? She can't. Well, then, it's just too bad for her. No. I have a family covenant. My family covenant, in fact, is sealed in blood by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ proclaims that I can be saved and all of my house, that I can break the curses that came from my family. And not only that, I can war. Remember now, the kingdom of God is violence, tribulation, warfare. I have to war for my niece. I told my other niece, Tina, I'm going to war for those two boys of yours. Amen. I'm going to war for my sons, my daughter, my grandchildren. I'm going to war for them because they do not realize that this is spiritual warfare. And somebody, brethren, somebody must bind the spirit. Somebody must go to war and bind those spirits. Brethren, we remember the kingdom of God is setting the captives free. It's healing the sick. It's raising the dead. But it is setting the captives free. That's the kingdom of God. And who do you suppose the first ones that we want to see set free? Yes, my sons, my daughter, my grandchildren, my families. This is the word of the Lord for us, brethren. Those spirits are too strong for them. It's going to take somebody that knows God, that has authority with God, to begin to command the spirits and set the captive free. I want us to go to, yeah, that's right. That's it, Joanne. Isaiah 49. Joanne turned to where I want to go. She doesn't know the message, by the way. I don't ever tell her because I want her to know it by the Spirit. This is Isaiah chapter 49. And I want everyone to open your Bible. Go to your electronic Bible, whatever you got. I want you to see this, okay? And we're going down to verse 24. Oh, hallelujah. This is exciting, brethren. God is moving by his Spirit. Whether we know it or not, God is moving by his Spirit on behalf of our children and our families. Believe it. If you believe it, say amen. Isaiah 49 and verse 24. You were right on the money, Joanne. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Now, wait a minute. Did Satan rightfully usurp the kingdom? Absolutely. He rightfully usurped the kingdom away from Adam. And when he showed Jesus all those kingdoms, he said, they're mine. And he was exactly right. They are his. The laws of warfare. Now, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Or shall the lawful captives be delivered? You notice it's lawful captives. They willingly... My niece, Annie, willingly opened up to alcohol, opened up to depression, opened up to these deceiving, lying spirits on the internet. She opened her heart, her mind, and now she's in a terrible place, which we have got to pray her out. Lawful. The devil really did it. Because he took her will. She became a willing servant. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty. Now, who is the mighty there? That's the same strong man that we saw back in Matthew 12. He's the strong man that has his house, and he's thinking, I'm pretty secure here. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty, the strong man, shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Does your Bible say that? Look at that. The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. My children, listen, look at this, brethren. My children shall be delivered. Lose some. I don't care if it's addictions. I don't care if it's some sexual deviant spirit. I don't care if it's some spirit trying to capture the mind. Whatever spirit that is, the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Now you can add the word shall be and say, must be. Shall means must. My children, my family, my grandchildren must be delivered. Why and how? Tell me. Let's finish the verse. Let's start again. Verse 25, thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty, the strong man, shall be taken away. The prey of the terrible shall be or must be delivered. For I, this is Almighty God speaking. This is Jesus Christ, the conqueror, speaking to you, to me, to every one of us. For I, Jesus Christ, will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will what? I will save thy children. Hallelujah! Loose, loose! Jesus Christ is saying, in essence, the kingdom of God suffers violence, but yes, but the violent are going to take it by force. You're going to overthrow the devil's kingdom, and you're going to set the captives free, and the first ones you're going to set free are in your own house, your own family. Loose it, loose it. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Now let's finish the next verse. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. They shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know. All flesh. God wants all flesh, all nations, all peoples to know this. That I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer and the what? The Mighty One of Jacob. Brethren, the spirits that are in our families, the ancestral spirits that are in our families, are lawfully capturing our children and our families. And they're willingly following these spirits. They do not know spiritual warfare. They do not know. My sister Annie does not know, as simple as it seems to us, Paul McCartney is not interested in my niece. He doesn't want to marry her. We know that. It's a devil. It's a lying spirit. But she doesn't, as obvious as it seems to me, to us, she can't see it. Okay. One more verse. We're going back to Matthew 12, that we're going to finish here. We're going right back to where we started. This is our last verse. Matthew chapter 12. And verse 22. And then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, that word should be demon, a disembodied spirit, an ancestral spirit, a familiar spirit. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. And he was what? He was blind. And he was dumb. And he, Jesus Christ, healed him. insomuch that the blind and the dumb spoke and saw. He could not see that he was possessed by a devil. Why? He was blind. And his tongue was bound, he couldn't speak. Now, I was in a conversation not long ago, and we were talking about the 12 disciples. And Jesus was always teaching them and they just couldn't get the lesson. They couldn't get the lesson. And I can see Jesus saying, oh, Peter, oh, John, oh, James, are you ever going to get it? You know? But he kept, because he believed that one day what? Their eyes are going to be opened. Only, brethren, only the Spirit of God can open eyes. Amen. It's only the Spirit of God. Guess whose eyes first need to be opened? Yeah, you and me. We have got to be fully aware of the spiritual warfare and activity that's going on around us, and first and foremost among our family, our children. And what happened next? When his eyes were opened, his tongue was loosed. Amen, brethren. When we begin to see, how horrible the situation is, and when we get desperate enough to get into the Spirit and begin to challenge those strong men, we're going to see the kingdom of God come to our children, our families. Amen? So here is the admonition to us today. Lord, open my eyes. And when I begin to see those ugly spirits that are troubling my house, my family, my children, I'm going to go to battle. I'm going to go to war. I'm going to declare war in the spirit against those ugly devils, familiar spirits, ancestral spirits. They can't see, brethren. Your family members can't see that they're bound by spirits and spirits are leading them. But you can. Your eyes are open. Amen. Your eyes are open. And what are you going to do when your eyes are open? You're going to speak. And you're going to command. And what is the first thing you're going to do? You're going to bind that spirit and loose those souls in Jesus' name. God help us. Brethren, the word, the admonition for us today, We have got to bind the strong man. That's coming against our house and set the captive ones free. God bless you, brethren. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, let me hold on here.
Oh, man.
Hold on.